Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
Thank you, Brother Paul. Thank you for giving me the blessing of being here with you good folks this evening. This is impressive to me. All you young people sitting over there. Are y'all going to be taking notes? Some of the seven ladies on the front going to be taking notes? That's good to know. What about the rest? They're going to do it for? Okay, good. That's such encouraging to me. Makes me want to do an even better job since I know it's being written down. So, I wasn't growing. I wasn't gaining weight. Anybody ever had that issue? I was about 11 or 12 years old back then. And mama, only child, right? Can you tell? And by the, just for curiosity, who else are the only children? Who else is special in the house tonight? We got a few. So I'm an only child. And spoiled. And I kind of got to pick what I ate when I was 11, 12, 13. I wasn't growing. I was a runt, skin and bones. Mama kept threatening me, got to eat better. If you don't start eating better, you're always going to be skinny. You got to put more meat on your bones. Kids going to be always picking on you in school. And eventually she said, if you don't start eating better, I'm going to take you to the doctor. He's going to figure out you got worms. I mean, what's going on with you? So you'd think that'd motivate me, and it just didn't. And I wasn't growing. And so I actually did go to the doctor. And he ran, you know, full battery of tests, figure out why is this kid so scrawny, so puny. All the tests came back good. You know, everything looked all right, but still something's going on. And so then the doctor said, pretty wisely, he said, what are you eating? And, you know, kind of dropped my head and talked about a lot of the sweet things I was eating, unhealthy things, and here's one of them. I would come home from school, and I would load up on these things. Anybody else? The only children I know you've had ding-dongs. Anybody eat ding-dongs anymore? I can honestly say, I don't think I've had a ding-dong in 30, 40 years at least. But there was a time, right? I'd come home from school, and, you know, these things, I've not opened the box because I didn't want to be tempted. Because I know that I struggle with white Satan. Anybody else? You know, an addiction to sugar. And so when I was really young, I mean, I could just come home and I could devour. You know, they used to be in tinfoil. You open that tinfoil, man, they're so good. I read on the box that each of those little things, 310 calories. You believe that? And so this was me. This was my diet. These things and orange soda, Sunkist, something like that. I would just, a 2-liter thing, nothing to it. And so when the doctor figured out basically my diet consisted of ding-dongs and orange soda, and when it was time for supper, I didn't want to eat. And there's no mystery to that. I didn't want to eat because I was full of garbage. When there's no growth, there's a problem, isn't there? And that's true spiritually too, isn't it? You know, baby's not growing, got issues, flowers aren't growing, that's the issue. Our souls aren't growing, there's an issue, right? And so tonight, we have the enviable task of continuing, as you've been doing on these other Wednesday nights, and in future Wednesday nights, we're going to be looking at some necessary parts of our diet, what we need to be consuming in order to grow in the ways that God would want us to grow. Last week, I believe you looked at prayer, and obviously that's significant. But I do believe that, as Paul said, this is the key. This is the key, what we're going to look at tonight. I want you to turn in your Bibles, and maybe you have Bibles on your phone with you, and you can look with me at what our assignment is. God has given us something to do, hasn't He? And we see this. We're going to start, first of all, is that showing up pretty well? Yes, it is. Thank you, the men in the back, for helping out with this. We're starting out in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 14. And here's what I see. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth, notice this, in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And then 16 says, from whom the whole body, talking about the church now, talking about all of us, joined and knit, one of my favorite words, together by what every joint, every member, everybody supplies, according to the effective working, here it comes again, by which every part, every member, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, everybody does its share. And what's the result? Causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So, did you see that line there in verse 15? May grow up in all things into Him. We're trying to grow up into Him, into Jesus. And then at the tail end, we just notice that when I grow, extra benefit, the church grows. Here's how that practically works, isn't it? If I want the church to be more loving, I need to grow in love. I want the church to be more faithful, I need to grow in my faith. If I want the church to be friendlier, I need to grow in my friendliness, in my kindness. If I want the church to be more evangelistic, I need to grow in the grace of evangelism. If I want the church to be more generous, I need to grow in the grace of giving. The church really is dependent on you, me, us, and our growth. One member grows, we're all growing. Of course, the converse of the negative of that could also be true, right? If I'm kind of a runt and I'm, you know, on the ding-dongs here, spiritually speaking, and my diet is trash, then that's going to affect the rest of the body also. Look at 1 Peter. We'll go to 2 Peter in a moment. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're looking at our divine assignment now. Therefore, laying aside all the garbage, we're going to eat better than these things. We're going to consume better than this. Laying aside all malice, all deceit, all, we can imply here, all hypocrisy, all envy, and all evil speaking. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes, what do? Desire the pure milk. Tells us there must be some impure out there to avoid. The pure milk of the word. Why? That you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, He is gracious, He is delicious. So we learn from this passage what? The one job, essentially the one job that babies have, and that is grow. We grow, again, in Christ, feeding on this sincere milk of the Word. Now, if you would go over to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. And following. Are you turning there? 2 Peter 1, 5 and following. Some might refer to this as climbing the ladder of faith. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to or grow this, add to your faith, virtue, to virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Each of these is building or growing on top of the other, right? For if these things are yours and abound, another word for grow, if these things are yours and growing, You'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul prayed about that earlier, didn't he? For he who lacks these things, we don't feed on these things. What's happening? We're short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, when there's therefore, we got to figure out what it is therefore. We look behind it. Again, we're reminded that we are expected by God to grow. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent, how that should be read, even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Devil's voted for us. God's voted for us. We cast the deciding vote. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. If you do these things, you'll never stumble. Therefore, if you don't do these things, you will stumble, right? For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly, notice, into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To sum that passage up, if we're growing, we're going. If we want to go, we need to grow. We're going to heaven. We get to go to heaven. We get to go and be a part of this eternal kingdom with the Father forever if we're determined to fulfill our part of the divine instruction, divine commission, which is to grow. The next page or so over in my Bible is 2 Peter 3:18. Do you see this? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, just emphasizing what our assignment is. Now, look over at Hebrews chapter 5, please, for just a moment. Hebrews 5. On one of my Ukraine trips, I lost my Bible, but I could just, it's such a great Bible, I could just think the passage and it would just go right to it. And though this Bible doesn't quite cooperate like that, can't read my mind. Hebrews 5, begin at verse 12. For though by the time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The idea there in the mind of the Hebrew writer is, how long have you been a Christian? And still you need somebody to come and teach you when you ought to be the one teaching others. And kind of an overriding issue seems to be in his mind is the idea of using the tools that we've been given by God. And by using these gifts, we grow in these gifts. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? How do we get better at tennis? Practice. How do we get better at preaching? Practice. How do we get better at cooking? Practice. How do we get better at playing the piano? Practice. How do we get better at growing in Christ? Practice, practice, practice. It helps us to be stronger if we're doing these things. So, look at that next slide, please. Our assignment is to grow. Think of it this way. Old Testament, a major theme was, let my people go. New Testament, major theme, let my people grow. And the growth, again, is healthy growth. It is growth, as Paul said, in Christ, as Peter says also, in Christ. You agree with this? That we must look at him, and the him is Jesus, so we can look like him. We look at him so we can look like him. Remember Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. We're to be looking unto Jesus. We've gotten rid of the baggage that's slowing us down, that's inhibiting healthy growth, healthy living. We've laid aside all that, the besetting sin. We're more aerodynamic as we're traveling after Jesus, but we're looking to him. And looking to him, looking at him, helps us to be more like him. Let's see. I think I've got this in my sack of visual aids also. Now, y'all may not be able to tell what this is, except for the cool people sitting up front. But this is a little hummingbird that was carved for me many, many years ago by a lady named Florence Kennington. And she was over 80 when she did this. She also carved a turkey for me, a quail for me. She knew back in the day I used to like quail hunt, love birds. And so she was just a master craftsman. And one time I was in her little shop. She's a member of the church. I mean, just a wonderful woman of God. And I asked her, I said, how do you do this? How do you carve a quail? How do you carve a hummingbird? And her answer was simple but profound. She said, for example, if I'm carving a hummingbird, I take a block of wood, I get a sharp knife, and I cut away from that block of wood anything that doesn't look like a hummingbird. Voila, I have a hummingbird. It makes sense, doesn't it? So we're looking not at a hummingbird, we're looking unto Jesus, and we're looking at him because we want to look like him, we want to be like him. And so we take the sword, the sharp knife, our Bible, and it can be kind of painful sometimes, but we're with the help of God, right? We're trying to cut away from ourselves anything that doesn't look like Jesus, sound like Jesus, think like Jesus, live like Jesus, worship like Jesus, do like Jesus. And what's left? A hummingbird? No. Jesus, a duplicate, hopefully, of Jesus. And that's what we're seeking to grow into him. Also, it makes sense, right, that we need to listen to him so we can sound like him. Remember what his father said after his baptism, in a sense, and then after this transfiguration, or during this transfiguration, Christ's face is changing, Elijah's face is changing, Moses' face is changing, and Peter wants to erect monuments in honor of all three of them, and God, you know, he puts his foot down on that idea, and he's speaking of Jesus. He said, "This is my beloved son, hear him, hear him." And as we hear him, as we listen to him, we're going to grow to be more like him and to sound more like him. And we're to hear him when it comes to worship. We're to hear him when it comes to our marriages. We're to hear him when it comes to our giving, to our generosity, to our serving. We're to hear him, follow him in every area of life that matters, and that helps us grow. You agree with this? We need to be close to him so we can be close to each other. Imagine for a moment that this is where Christ is, and I'm over here, and you're way over here, and we got to get closer. And it's a simple remedy. The closer you move to Christ, the closer I move to Christ, the closer we are to each other. And our growth in Christ, right, is proportional to our proximity to Christ. We need to be getting as close to Christ as we possibly can. Three examples from our Bible. Thinking of Peter, James, and Saul, at certain points of their lives, they were all faithless, we would say. Remember when Peter was in this boat with the other scared apostles, there's a storm, and Jesus walks up, and they think it's a ghost, and they're pretty frightened by that. Plus, the storm was getting their attention, obviously. But when Jesus got near, remember how Peter was transformed from faithless to fearless, and he's out walking on the water. Don't think now about him sinking in the water. Think about how he walked on the water. Who else has done that? Jesus, Peter, that's the list. And it was because of the proximity that he was to Jesus, it helped him to grow in his faith. Of course, when he took his eyes off Christ, then he got into some trouble. And then remember James talking about the half-brother of Jesus. He grew up in a home, and he just couldn't accept that that was really the Son of God. And so 1 Corinthians 15, after James gets near a risen Lord, then he believes and becomes one of the great leaders in the church in Jerusalem. Goes from faithless to fearless. I mean, he paid a high price for his belief in Jesus. And then Saul, you remember, he is a terrible person doing horrible things, until he sees Jesus on that road. He wasn't saved then, but he's put on a path towards salvation with that seeing Jesus. And he becomes one of the most fearless of all the followers of Christ. All because he saw Jesus, got near to Jesus, ultimately obeyed Jesus, and had his sins all washed away in the blood of Jesus. So to be him, to be like Jesus, we need to see him. We need to see him in action, don't we? We need to see his amazing verbs. One of the great things about Christianity are the verbs that we get to be a part of. And as we grow in Christ, we're in the process of exchanging maybe some of our old verbs for his new and better verbs. For example, loving replaces loathing. Serving replaces sitting. Praying replaces pouting or doubting. Reconciling replaces antagonizing. Uniting replaces dividing. Mending replaces offending. Encouraging replaces discouraging. Giving, sharing replaces hoarding and getting. Enduring replaces quitting. Forgiving replaces resenting. And evangelizing replaces ignoring. And you can think of a lot of other verbs that maybe we've been a part of that need to be replaced by the precious verbs of Jesus. Well, let me ask you this profound philosophical question. In the next few weeks, we'll be having pumpkins on our porches. And why aren't these pumpkins growing any longer? Why doesn't the pumpkin on the porch grow? Because it is no longer connected to the vine. It has been severed, that connection. It has been disconnected. Why don't some Christians grow? Because we have been disconnected from the vine. That the connection between us and Christ has been severed. That's one of the dangerous things to me. Go back to the page before that, please. I'll come to that in just a moment. But can I say this here and be okay? I've already got my check, so you can't take that from me. But can I just say this about COVID? I won't get in trouble. I don't want to offend. I love everybody. I promise you that. But is it possible that COVID is one of the things that's causing us to have a, if not a severed connection, some of us have a weakened connection? Right, 650,000. It's a horrible thing. About 650,000 have died from COVID. What? And that's again. Oh, we can't wrap our minds around what a catastrophe that is for so many people. I'm sure this congregation hasn't been spared. Where I preach in Tuscumbia, we've not been spared. What is the spiritual toll because of COVID? Here's what I'm seeing. I talked to a lot of people smarter than me. They seem to be seeing the same things. We're seeing people that were spiritually weak coming into this time of pandemic, not getting stronger, many of them, but getting weaker and weaker. And so now there's a mindset in our congregations that says, I can go to work. I can have kids that go to school. I can go to the ball games. Worship, we're in a pandemic, so I can't go in the assembly. There's something wrong with that picture, isn't there? Is this place more contagious for COVID than a gymnasium, school classroom, workplace? Probably not. Now, I know we got to be careful. We really do. This is a very serious thing. But we've also got to be concerned. There's got to be a balance between the physical health and the spiritual health, right? We got to do what we can do to maintain the connection to Christ. Next slide, please. So for growth, for health, for life, we got to be connected to that vine. John 15, being verse 1, says a lot of good about that. Think with me about some things that can actually gnaw on that connection that we're to have with the vine. I think I'm seeing that clock. All right. Back there, Brother Glenn, how much time do I have left before that first bell's going to start ringing? How many? 10 minutes? Good. All right, you know, your list could be more thorough and more accurate than my list of things that could potentially gnaw at our connection, weaken our connection, maybe even sever our connection. With unconnected, disconnected friends, we choose our friends, we choose our future. So we need to choose wisely those people. We need to have friends that don't belong to Christ so we can evangelize and bring them to Christ. When our friends in the world are starting to pull us more into the world and away from the vine Jesus, then we need to sever that connection before we sever this connection with our Savior. You know that. You know, I mentioned already this virus, sickness can be an issue, right? Fear of sickness, complacency. Wow. One of the challenges about complacency, complacent people don't understand they're complacent. Complacency tends to numb us and blind us to certain realities. Unrealistic expectations, we expect too much of the church, expect too much of ourselves, disappointed, inactivity. Ever broken your arm and had it in a cast? When you take that cast off, it's not like that arm's ready to move again. I mean, it's after so much inactivity, it's just going to protest, right? And so, again, another issue of COVID. A lot of us, we've just been over here kind of stagnant spiritually. When those spiritual verbs, those verbs of Christ, and now as we're opening back up, you know, well, I got pretty comfortable over here just not doing so much. Inactivity can be a challenge, right? Other gods can be an issue. Money, Baal can become Baal. I don't know if you have that issue in this community, but back in the community I live, wow, Sunday is treated by our athletes as any other day of the week. That's not a healthy thing for maintaining the connection with the vine Jesus. And this, you know, the ball can become Baal. You understand that idea, right? And then this philosophy of Sunday fun day. I'm on Facebook quite a bit. It can be of the devil, but it can be a great tool. I try to use it as a great tool. Sometimes I probably fail at that, but that's my goal. And I'll see people sometimes that talk about Sunday's coming, Sunday fun day. And I'm thinking Sunday fun day, the attitude of David. I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. That's fun for me and fun for thee, I'm sure, right? But some people, Sunday fun day, they think, okay, this is a day to go to the lake, go to the beach, go to the mountains, go to the ballpark, go to the golf course, go anywhere and everywhere, but, you know, to the place where I can be together with God's people, strengthening my connection to the vine. This idea of child worship, what I mean by that? I mean, you know, we want to love our children, want to teach our children to worship God. We don't want to worship our children. You know, these little gods in our houses, if they don't feel like going to church, they don't, why don't you come to church? Well, my little precious doesn't want to go. You're not encouraging her to go to Bible class. Well, we had that discussion, and she doesn't want to go, he doesn't want to go, and so, you know, that's a challenge in some homes, right? Or things become kings, idea of materialism, taking our eyes off of Christ and focusing on other things. That so weakens us. That's why the devil's surrounding us by forces, by people to try to distract us, get us to look at anything and everything but the commanded thing, the one who died for us. Lack of divine communication, dialogue. A page a day will keep the devil away and also maintain our contact. We need to be talking to God through prayer, listening to him speak to us through his word. Got to make time for that. Get to make time for that. And then also I would suggest that to strengthen our grip on Christ, on that vine, there are some healthy habits we need to develop. Need to eat better, right? No more spiritual ding-dongs. We need to be feeding on the word of God. We need to be praying better. Jesus was great at teaching. He was great at healing. He was great at performing miracles. But the disciples, they never went to him and said, teach us to do these things. The one thing we have record of them requesting Jesus do, Lord, teach us to pray. So his prayers must have been extra special. Read, examine, wrap your heart around the prayers of Christ. And let's try to emulate that heart when we pray to the Father through Jesus. And we'll worship better. Worship better, as Christ put it in John 4:24, in spirit and in truth. We're coming together to grow in him. We're going to focus on Jesus. We're delighted to sing to Jesus. We're delighted to remember what Jesus did for us at Calvary. We're praying through Jesus. We're looking at the book that tells us all about Jesus from beginning to end. You know, it's all about Jesus. And that's one of the dangers, right? I remember when we were first shutting down during the pandemic, seemed like every other phrase in my sermons had the word COVID. And our conversation is all about COVID. It's COVID, COVID, COVID. And we got to get out of that. And it's got to be Jesus, 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 right? That's the way out of some of this that we've gotten ourselves into. And that leads us to teaching better, doesn't it? I tend to learn better when I'm teaching. And when you're teaching others, you'll be learning better also. And then we need to be talking better. Talking better, particularly about the one that came and died for us, the one who gave all. We don't want to be guilty of talking about anything and everything but the commanded thing, which is Jesus, the commanded one, which is Jesus. Bible says impressive things to us about Jesus. He's the Alpha and Omega, Revelation 1:8, author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2, bread of life, John 6:48, bright and morning star, Revelation 22:16, captain of our salvation, Hebrews 2:10, Christ Jesus our Lord, 1 Timothy 1:12, day spring, Luke 1:78, day star, 2 Peter 1:19, friend of sinners, Matthew 11:19, holy one, Psalm 16:10, horn of salvation, Luke 1:69, I am, John 8:58, light of the world, John 8:12, prince of life, Acts 3:15, prince of peace, Isaiah 9:6, rose of Sharon, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. He is our way, our truth, our life, John 14, verse 6. That sounds like somebody we need to be talking about. That sounds like somebody we need to be looking at. That sounds like somebody we need to be listening to. That sounds like somebody we need to be growing into. That is Jesus. We need to be talking about Jesus. Okay, I don't mean this in any way to step on toes, so I just want to ask you, I hope it's a harmless question, but just review your day, Wednesday, your day today. How many conversations did you have today with people about Jesus? What number you got? One, two, zero. What number is in your mind now? We need to be talking about Jesus every day, everywhere, around everybody. And I want to just confess, I should all my life have been doing better about talking about Jesus. Last little while in my life, I've really made a concerted effort to not. This is may sound odd to you, but really, this is kind of a decision I made a while back, and I'm glad I made it. I should have made it much sooner. That I'm not going to have, best it depends on me, I'm not going to have conversations of any substance with anybody without bringing up Jesus. We might be talking about the ball game. We might be talking about the weather. We might be talking about my grandkids. We might be talking about COVID. But there's somehow, some way, I'm going to bring that conversation around to Jesus. And so, it's amazing. Since I've made that goal with the help of God, it's become more natural for me. And people are not avoiding me, at least I can't tell that they are. People aren't getting offended because I'm talking about Jesus. What did he say? He said, if we'll confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father. To confess means to talk about, to tell about. I want him to talk about God, talk about me to God, so I need to be talking about him to the people that I want to follow God. That makes sense? And we got that ominous statement too. He said, if we deny him before men, then he'll deny us before the Father. Now, none of us would ever be guilty of denying Jesus. We would never say to people, I don't believe in Jesus. But our silence can appear that maybe I'm not denying him, but he's not that important. You know, you can tell what matters to people by what we spend our money on and by what we talk about. So let's talk about Jesus Christ. Want to garden better, plant good friends, plant good thoughts, plant good deeds, and hopefully that kind of crowds out some of the weeds. We're also wanting to pull the weeds, but it's not just enough, is it, right? If you got a bad light bulb, well, I'd hate to have to change one of these bulbs, but if you had a bad bulb in this place, you wouldn't just take out the bad, would you? You'd replace it with good. Okay, so what are the bad weeds that we might have in our hearts, our lives? You know, thinking some things shouldn't, maybe visiting some websites we shouldn't, watching some TV shows we shouldn't, Netflix. Wow, there's some opportunity there to be encountering weeds, social media, you know, text, and there's all. So as we get rid of that, you know, we're replacing it with something gracious, something good from our Heavenly Father. Remember the parable of the soils in Matthew chapter 13, the weeds, right? They can choke growth. But And that's the bad news, right? But the good news is Jesus can choke weeds. And the more we got a Jesus in us, the more we're growing into him, the less, you know, fertile soil the devil will find to plant the bad stuff that can mess us up. This to me is a profound thought. And I don't have many profound thoughts. But we noticed earlier from John 14:6 where Jesus is our way, truth, and life. But I want to suggest that Jesus is also our why. You agree with that? Jesus is why we do what we do that's good. He's why these seven precious young ladies on the front pew, front chairs, taking notes. That's why. He's why we're here. He's why we love. He's why we serve. He's why we grow. He is our why. He's why we get to go to heaven. Now, here's something else that, in my estimation, is also quite profound. Not only is Jesus our why, but we are his why. True? Why did he come to this place? Wasn't for the money. Wasn't for the praise. We are the reason why. He went to Calvary because he loves me and because he loves you. He wants us to be with him now, here. He wants us to be with him in the hereafter. To do this, we need to grow. And grow, and grow, and grow. Never get too big spiritually. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you so much for Jesus, that we can grow into him, that we can look at him and be like him. Help us, Father, to remove from us, from our hearts, anything that doesn't resemble Jesus, anything that doesn't look like Jesus, doesn't sound like Jesus, doesn't do like Jesus. Help us to take the sword and to cut that away. Help us, Father, to be such imitators of Christ that when people see us, that at least in a sense, they see Jesus. And help us to understand we're the only Jesus some people will ever get near until they get near to the true Christ, Messiah. And Father, help us to do all things necessary to keep our focus on Christ. Help us to understand that the devil wants to distract us, wants to divide us. But help us, Father, to be stubborn about this, that we're going to look to Christ, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else, nobody else. Help us, Father, to eat better, pray better, worship better, teach better, talk better, garden better. Understand that that's the key to growth in Jesus. That is the key to the better, to the best life. We love you, Father, and we thank you so much for loving us. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.